Hi, and welcome to Find, Tell, Share, the Storytellers Podcast. I'm Gemma Rosenthal, and my business is Creative Hearts, and I help you to live your most fulfilling creative life and find your voice. I'm a singer-songwriter, dancer, choreographer, actor, and I'm also a life coach and healer. And this is my co-host.
I'm Chris Sissons. My business is Market Together. I'm a local marketing coach, and I help businesses find stories for turbulent times. On today's show, we'll be exploring manifestation, the law of attraction, how we resource our work, and dark holy ground in 1980s County Cleveland. Yes.
This time, we're delighted to introduce our guest, Sharon Sammy. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, welcome Gemma. Hi, podcast. Chris. I'm so excited to be here.
So excited to have you on. Sharon is a strategic intervention coach, positive intelligence corporate trainer. Sharon integrates 20 years of professional experience working with banking with 15 years personal development experience. Being a natural psychic medium, she trained in Reiki healing as a Reiki healing master and teacher. She is an inspirer, motivator, and serial manifester, aiming to shine the light everywhere she goes. As an energetic mindset coach, intuitive healer, and manifesting mentor, Sharon empowers her clients to go from mediocre to manifesting their most magnificent life ever and creating an abundant legacy. Sharon really does live by her principles of living your dream where anything is possible. And she's here today to share her incredible story with you all. Wow. Sharon, it lights me up even just reading your bio there. How does it feel to have, you know, all that to share with everyone?
Yeah, well, thank you. It feels amazing, to be honest. It feels amazing. And each and every day, people always say to me, why are you always so positive? Why are you always so high vibe? And I can share this throughout the podcast as well. But it's all to do with energetics. It's all to do with energetics. And as we're going to discuss today, manifesting as well.
Yes, absolutely. So we actually met through Manifestation Maven, who's Suman Mangra, who we've actually had on the podcast. I can't remember which episode it was. Do you remember, Chris, where we had
not,
to...
We can
pop it in the show notes anyway. Anyone that wants to revisit after you've listened to this one, go check out Suman Mangra's podcast, because she talks about the introduction. She actually introduces us to manifestation and what it is. So I would like to also hear your definition, Sharon. How would you describe manifestation?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm going to drop in a mantra, because I feel this is important. And this is basically what started really my manifesting journey, this whole mindset. And the mantra is, nothing is impossible. Anything is possible. You can do anything if you put your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, your heart into it. You can really create greatness in your life. So having that mantra at the forefront, which is basically saying that nothing is impossible, which means you've got the whole collective consciousness, the whole infinite possibilities out there, and you can really create whatever it is that you put in your mind. And that's really where it started for me. And I guess to answer your question in terms of what manifesting is, it's first of all, knowing what it is that you want. And for you out there listening, a lot of you may be thinking, oh, I'm not too sure what I want. Or it could be that, you know, you want that new car or that holiday or whatever it is that you want. First of all, you've got to know what it is that you want. Then you've got to believe that, yes, I can get this. I am capable. I am worthy. But then it comes down to as well overcoming your limiting beliefs, which is all of those fears, the doubts, the concerns that stop us from really reaching out to get our true greatness. So overcoming those fears and those doubts, to then believing in yourself. And then the most important thing about manifesting is not just sitting there saying your mantras, saying your affirmations, but you've actually got to start taking those baby steps. And even taking small baby steps every single day consistently will have that compound effect, which means at the end, you should then manifest what it is that you want. Because if you can think it, you can believe it. So in a nutshell, that's manifesting.
Okay, thank you. So there's a couple of things I want to say, kind of like in terms of I absolutely do believe in manifestation and I practice it myself. Well, actually, I suppose it's not about believing in manifestation because we manifest all the time anyway, because our whole life is a manifestation of our thoughts and beliefs and how we do things. But I suppose what I'd say is, like, I think maybe like a lot of us have this sense of like doubt in not just ourselves, but like the world as well. Like, we've got pandemics happened, there's a lot of people ill and kind of sick and things like that. And I think a lot, or there might be a sense of kind of like, well, they can do it because they've got the resources or the money or the time, or but what about, you know, I've got a job to do, I've got kids to feed, or do you know, like things like that. How do you kind of, so for example, if you had a client that came along and they said all that to you, what would you say to them? How would you get them to think differently?
I would say three things. And this is from the famous Mike Dooley, who I had the privilege of meeting about 15 years ago. And this was life changing for me. This is one of those probably highlight moments of my life. Three words: thoughts become things. It's as simple as that. And I tell my clients from the very first conversations I have, we talk about their mindset, what's currently going on in their life at the moment. What's actually living out, you know, their work, their career, their relationship, their finances, their health, all of the holistic areas of their life. And it does come down to the power of the thoughts. And like you said there, Gemma, which was really important, like people sometimes, they compare themselves to others, or they think, oh, we're in this pandemic, I can't possibly find a new job, or I can't possibly do this because of this, which is the external circumstance. And that's the key thing here, because we can't control the external, which is the events, people, circumstances, situations. But what we can control is the internal, which is ourself. And if we can master our mindset, our skill set, and our heart set, which is what I do with my clients, then they can get onto that road. And you can call it manifesting, you can call it achieving your goals, it's one of the same thing. But as you also mentioned there, Gemma, we are all manifesting each and every day, everything we do. It's a bit like electricity. You know, we don't know maybe how to, you know, the background of how it's all like integrated and it works, but we benefit from using electricity with the light and everything else. So it's the same with manifesting. We all benefit. It's about utilizing its power to the best of your ability.
Yeah. I also want to like kind of use an example of how we manifested this podcast, for example. So Chris obviously had the idea, and I had had an idea in my mind, perhaps like just kind of there in the background of like, oh, that would be nice. But it wasn't sometimes, because I don't know if you can talk about this thing of attachment. I don't know, you know, how like it's a lot easier to manifest something if you're not so attached to it. So for example, with me just kind of having it there as an idea of like, yeah, that would be nice. And then having Chris come along to ask me to be on the podcast after I'd done my story. But I suppose I had taken actions in a way, because I had taken actions to tell my story and to get to know people that may be interested in things like podcasts and stuff like that. And then we actually spoke to someone who does podcasting, as in knows how to set it up. So I think it's like it's showing people those kind of action steps that you take in between. And I suppose there's different ways of manifesting things. Like I said, there can be the more passive way, which is kind of how I did it, in terms of like you just kind of think it and then someone comes along and says, do you want to do this thing? It's a bit like how I manifested being an author as well. You know, I've been in two books, one's a bestseller, and this is because, and I didn't have to really I say didn't have to do it. I obviously had to write the chapters. But what I mean is that I was so prepared energetically that I already had the material. It just came out in, you know, and I just started writing and it was so, so much in flow. It was just that thought of kind of like, yeah, I'd like to be in a book one, you know, that would be nice. And then people messaging me and saying, do you want to be in this book? And I suppose that's a more a kind of like more relaxed way of manifesting. But then there's also a more kind of active way of manifesting. For example, how I'm putting out my first single soon. And this is something that I've wanted to do for years and years and years and years. I've had loads of songs and I've just done them. I'm just recording the music video at the moment. And this is something that I've been wanting to do for ages and ages and ages. But I was just kind of sitting around waiting for someone to record me, waiting for someone to say, you know, this. And I had had some offers for music videos before, but I didn't have the recording, so I couldn't do it. So, and then I had this dream, and it was so amazing because I was in this studio and I was waiting for my songs to be recorded, and I was waiting and waiting and waiting. And then this massive bull comes in and smashes the studio, and then I go outside and there's all these rams and they push me back into the studio. And I looked up the spiritual meaning of bulls and rams, and it's obviously about like taking the bull by the horns and like getting stuff done. And then in the morning I went and I booked the studio, and it was just one of those things of like I had this realization inside of me of like, you cannot wait for other people to do things for you. And I think this is something that I realized listening to you when we chatted before, and I was like, oh, that's the difference. She goes out there and she makes sure things happen. So could you talk a little bit about this? I don't know if, okay, so Sharon, just speak a little bit on that and then we'll move on to your story if that's okay.
Yeah, definitely. What I would say is, in terms of obviously manifesting, how you explained it, the passive and the active, okay, synchronicity, okay, everything is synchronicity. So when you put your thought out there and you detach, which is the key thing here, you detach from the outcome, you're raising your vibration anyway, because if you've got that thought about what it is that you want, it's making you feel good and it's tapping into those emotions, which raises your frequency, which then attracts all of those situations, those people, those circumstances that are in that same vibrational resonance, which means you will then start to get the phone calls. You will then start to get whatever it is to take you on that next step. But definitely taking those baby steps, even if you don't know how, because you don't need to write down how you're going to do everything, step one to step 100. You don't need to know how, because like you said, the universe will send you the information. Like, for example, Gemma mentioned in her dream, okay, you know, a conversation that she had with me, you know, different things, different levels of awareness, and it will come to you if you're open and you're not attaching to the how.
So it's about, let me just read those back to you. So for our listeners, it's about detaching from the outcome, taking those baby steps, so moving towards your goal, even if you don't know the how, even if you don't know how it's going to be manifested, the universe will bring you the people when you take those little action steps towards the direction of what you want. Yeah. Is that
it's also
correct?
Yeah, definitely. And it's also putting yourself in alignment energetically. So for example, right, if you want to, for example, publish, you know, the book, get the record deal, buy the car or whatever it is, it's like a case of acting as if, opening up your imagination and really instilling the emotions. How are you going to feel when you've got that new car? How are you going to feel when you've wrote the book and it's become a bestseller on Amazon? How are you going to feel when you achieve your goal? What is it going to instill inside you? Yes, the happiness, the fulfillment, the joy, the fun, the passion. Well, feel the emotion deep in your soul, deep in your heart, because it's not a case of saying, I want a new car, and then you're down in the dumps and you've got your physiology, which is like, you know, for your listeners out there, like, you know, your head's down, your shoulders are drooped over, you're just not feeling that vibrance and the energetics. It's about, you know, feeling alive, feeling into what it is that you want, feeling into those emotions, because it's the emotions that's going to draw the synchronicities, which is going to draw everything to you.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that around the emotions and the physiology. And I think a lot of the time with manifestation, we stay very much in our heads and we're trying to think it through. But actually, if you can actually feel it and know that if you can feel those emotions as if it's already happened, you know, as if you've achieved your goal and it's there. And that's why I do a lot of movement work with people, because it gets them into their bodies. And it's feeling that aliveness as if you've already got it. And that can definitely speed up those synchronicities. Because even if, for example, if people are meeting you, they might just recognize your energy and just suddenly go, you know, I mean, that happened to me when I walked into a restaurant to get a waitressing job or something, and then I ended up doing gigs there and starting my own business. So do you know what I mean? It's because of my energy.
It is. It's exactly what you say. And a quick example I'm going to give you here is I used to live in Manchester. And early in the morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I used to tune in, and I'm not going to say the radio station, but it was an R&B radio station just for the music. And what I realized was about 6:15 in the morning, they used to do a competition, and it was just a phone-in competition to win CDs, concert tickets, money, phones, all this random stuff. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. So like I remember the first time I heard, I dialed the number, because you have to take the action. It's not going to happen if you don't take the action. So I took the action, dialed the number, and lo and behold, I got straight through. So answered the questions live on air, and I won the competition. And I think it was a CD at the time, because I'm talking years and years ago. I'm talking about at least 15 years ago. And then after, I remember specifically, now this is the key here, I hung up the phone, and in my mind, I literally put out the thought to the universe, wouldn't it be great if every day I could win the competition on this radio station? And then I got up, I detached from the outcome, detached from thinking about it, but I was just feeling so vibrant, happy, excited, fun, and all that passion. And then the next day, and this is where the synchronicity comes in, the next day in the morning, 6:10, my phone rings. And I'm thinking, who's ringing me so early in the morning? So I pick up the phone and I'm just in bed. And they said, hi, it's the radio station. Would you like to enter the competition? And I said, oh, and I'm confused. I haven't rung you. And they said, no, we're ringing you because you won yesterday. Would you like another chance today? And I said, yeah, let's do it. And so I was live on the air 5 minutes later, and I won concert tickets to Christina Aguilera in the Manchester MEN Arena for that week. And I was like, oh my gosh. 2 days later, they rung me again and they said, would you like to enter the competition? I said, of course I would. I'm ready. Let's do it. And I won, I think it was some money, like £100 or something. And I thought, lying in bed, putting the thought out to the universe, I would like to win all of this beautiful stuff from the radio station. And I wasn't even having to ring. They were ringing me. And that happened for the course of 2 weeks, which was amazing. So, you know, your thoughts can become things.
Love it. And that was kind of an introduction to your story. So would you like to share your story today? What have you got to share for us today?
Yes, definitely. Okay, so my story is a mixture of basically empowerment, going for your dreams, but then when you realize that dream is not for you, doing a 360 and going a completely different direction to realizing your dream. Anything is possible. Okay, so I want to take you to the place, first of all, of when I finished university many years ago and I started my first graduate job at the National Australia Bank in the UK. Having been there for almost 3 years, loved the job with a passion, but I thought to myself, what else is possible for me? Is it the whole corporate banking structure? You start from the bottom and you make your way up? Or can things be more exciting? 15 years ago, this was back in May 2006, I opened up to personal development and went on my first personal development course with Anthony Robbins, Unleashing the Power Within, and I did an amazing firewalk. At the time, I had all of the doubts and the fears, thinking there's no way I'm going to be doing this. And then at the end of that first day, I did that firewalk. And I was instilled with so much personal power, thinking this is totally, totally amazing. And I can remember traveling back from the course from London up to Birmingham in the West Midlands, thinking it's so cold in the UK, raining, even snowing at times. And I really want the sunshine. I desire the sunshine. And I literally put the thought out that I want to live somewhere that's really hot and sunny, away from the UK, away from the rain and the snow. And then if by miraculous events that happened, my friend from university that I hadn't even spoken to for about 3 years, she contacted me and she said, how do you fancy going to Australia? And I was like, didn't even have to think. I said, yes, 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 let's go. And in the back of my mind, I knew, working for National Australia Bank, I could go for an opportunity of living in Australia for 2 years on a work secondment. So at the same time as the holiday, I could build that in with going to the trading floor in Sydney and seeing if I wanted to go there to fulfill that dream. So off we went, two youngsters, 2 months later, we went to Australia, posh suitcase backpackers. We did 10 internal flights over 7 weeks, traveling the East Coast, spending Christmas and New Year in Australia. And then something hit me like a rock. And it was like, I'm homesick. I'm really missing my mom and dad. I can't live here for 2 years. This whole dream of being in the sun, this is not really what my heart desires. So me and my friend, we'd booked a cruise across the Great Barrier Reef. So we went on this cruise ship and I remember I was sitting down on the deck, looking up at the beautiful sun shining, the beautiful blue sky, and it hit down with the beautiful aqua of the sea, the beautiful live music the band was playing on the deck. And I looked up at the sun and I said, if anything was possible for me, what is possible? My higher mind came through and said, TV. My ego mind came up and said, no way. You can't go on TV. You've got a banking degree. You've got a fantastic position at the bank when you go back to the UK. You're not going to go on TV. You've got no acting experience. Don't be so silly. My higher mind said, TV. It was whispering to me. And so there I was relaxing on the Great Barrier Reef, looking up at the sun and thought, what shall I do? So I came back to the UK. My whole Australia, moving to Australia, that dream was gone because I couldn't do it. And then I was sat there going to the office every day, coming back. And then I thought to myself, my higher mind was saying, TV, let's make this happen. So that's when I took the inspired action. I made the phone calls each and every day to lots of acting agencies up and down the country, London, Glasgow, Manchester, Leeds, Birmingham, every single city. I made over 60, 70 phone calls. Every one of them was saying to me, put it in writing. So I thought, that's a message, put it in writing. So I got the laptop out and I tailored every single letter and I sent over 50 personal letters to TV agents. I included photos because some of them wanted photos. I included CVs. I included everything that they wanted. And I was so happy. I was so vibrant and excited. I sent the letters, posted them out, walked to the corporate office, and I was acting as if I was on TV. And then it hit me. Literally, I got home the one day and I could see the stamped addressed envelope. And I recognised the stamped addressed envelope from one of the letters I'd sent. So I ripped it open and I got the first rejection. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I felt really destroyed. I was crying. I felt really sad, upset, hurt. My ego mind came up and said, I told you so. I told you you can't do this. You've got a university degree in banking. What makes you think you can go on TV? You're not special. You can't do this. My higher mind came up once I stopped crying and I could hear the whispers. Carry on. TV, TV, that's your answer, TV. So as the days continued, I got more stamped addressed envelopes coming back. Rejection, 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 to the point where I was actually smiling. Every time I got a letter, I opened it and it was no, thanks, but no thanks. You don't meet the criteria. You're not the right one for our acting agent. And I smiled. And the reason I smiled was because this was not a failure. This was a fail forward. I was getting a step closer to my dream. All of the no's were going to go behind me and I was going to get a yes. I was so sure. And it took 3 weeks, okay? And I'm not saying it was easy because I was full of mixed emotions. I was down in the dumps, even tears, sadness. And then I picked myself up and thought, yes, I can do this. I can do this. This is what I want. This is my dream. Until that day came and I came back from the corporate office, came back home, got a letter. It wasn't a stamped addressed envelope. It was an actual white envelope, different one. I didn't recognize the writing at all. And I ripped it open and there it was. Yes, we would love to speak to you. We would love to represent you in our acting agency. And the funny part here was that it was actually in Manchester and I was living in Manchester, which means I didn't have to move to London or go to Glasgow. It was literally 5 minutes away from my corporate office in banking. So I went in, I was signed up, didn't have to pay anything. I was signed up, represented by this acting agent. I resigned from the bank, literally followed my higher self, my gut instinct, and I went for it. At the start, it wasn't how I expected, okay? And that was because I was given background work. So for those of you in the UK listening, Channel 4, I was on Hollyoaks, I was on a lot of BBC productions, and I was doing background work. And I did that for a few weeks. I went back to my agent, a guy called Mark, and I said, you need to put me forward for other roles, permanent roles, proper roles, featured roles. You need to put me forward for other things than background work. And then he said to me, but Sharon, you have no acting experience. I've put you on the books. You need to work your way up. It's going to take years. And I said, well, I don't have years. And you don't have anybody like me on your books. And this, I'm tall, I'm Asian, I'm young, I'm ambitious, I can talk, I'm spontaneous. You need to put me forward for other things. And he said, okay, let's give it a shot. There you go. If you don't ask, you don't get listeners. So you've got to ask for what you want. So then he put me forward for TV commercials, DFS, Crunchy Nut Cornflakes, Greggs, DFS. So there was a load of different commercials that I was in for a number of weeks thereafter. Then my ego mind was still saying to me, go back to your banking job. This is not for you. And my higher mind came up and said, like the angel on the shoulder said, ask for a different role. Not TV commercials, you're worthy of more. So I went to the agency and I sat down with Mark and I said, right, this is going great, but it can be even more great. You need to put me forward for auditions. You need to put me forward for better parts. He said, no, you have no acting experience. It's going to take you years to do that. So I'll just put you forward for these roles at the moment and we'll see how it goes. So I was a little bit deflated, went back home and I thought, no, that's not going to cut it for me. And this is where taking the small steps comes in. The next day I rung Mark and I said, Mark, it's Sharon. Can you put me forward for any roles that come up, like permanent positions? And he said, I've already told you this. No. So I hung up and I smiled and I thought, well, okay, I've got one no. Let's give it a go. Let's see how many no's I can get. So each and every day, at the same time, I was very consistent. I rung him up every single day. It took 13 no's. And then my phone started ringing on the 14th day. And it was Mark. And I said, hello, how can I help you? And he said, well, how do you fancy going for an audition? I said, an audition? I'd love to. Where is it? And then he said, well, actually, you need to come to the studio. We will take you to the place. And it's for a top UK TV soap. Great. He said, it's a featured part for 3 weeks, but there may be possibilities of further work. And I said, great, let's do it. Bring it on. So I was so excited. I got to the studios, got to the audition. And this is where the down point comes in. I sat ready for my audition. I had nothing with me, no folder, just my handbag, just there with my red lipstick on. And I looked across the room at everybody else. Tall, young, different ethnicities, beautiful. And I'm sitting there. My ego mind comes in and says, Sharon, you're in the wrong place. Go back to banking. You're too fat. You're too ugly. You're the wrong ethnicity. You can't be on TV. This is not what your parents want. They want you to be in a professional job like banking, not TV acting. What are you thinking? Get yourself out of here. You don't fit in. And I felt really deflated to the point where I was almost going to walk out of the audition. And then my higher mind came up, the angel on the shoulder, and said, Sharon, you've got this. Have the faith. It's already yours. And I lit up, I smiled, and I thought, yeah, this is already mine. And I sat there and I owned the room. I owned the power. I walked into the audition, sat there, and there must have been about six people in front of me, the producers, story writers, directors, etc., all shooting me with questions. And I just sat there, shone in my light, answered everything as if I had already got the part. So I didn't think about me getting the part. I sat there as being that actress on that TV soap. That was the difference. It was my energetics. I walked out of there and I was literally on cloud nine. Literally, I was floating. It was so magical. And then I got home, and then about an hour later, my agent, Mark, rung me up and he said, guess what? He said, you've got it. I knew you could do it. I had so much faith in you. And I was thinking, really? From all of those times you said no. I said, that's great. That's absolutely fantastic. When do I start? He said, you actually start tomorrow. I said, fantastic. Let's do this. So I went, and then at the end, after the 3 weeks, I got to know a lot of the producers, directors, storytellers, etc. And I got offered a permanent role on this top UK TV soap. And without any acting experience, with being told it was totally impossible from my acting agent. And, you know, even my ego mind was telling me it was impossible. And this is where I turned the impossible into I'm possible. So if I can do it, you out there that are listening, you definitely can do it. So anything that you put your mind to, you can achieve, and you can achieve your true greatness, and your thoughts become things. Really tuning in to your higher self and what your mind is telling you, not your ego mind, but your higher self, activating your intuition. So even if you don't know what you want, being in that place where you're open to your imagination. Getting on TV was one of my childhood dreams. And when I went to Australia thinking that was my dream I wanted to fulfill, I did a complete 360 and my mind took me back to my childhood dream. And with the action and the determination and the dedication, I made it. And so can you, because anything is possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. That's a great story, and
thank you.
There are a few things that I love about it. One is the two voices, the higher self and the ego self, and I really wonder whether you can make more of that, because those voices run you ragged. Both of them.
Yeah.
Because you've got one that's going, you're brilliant, you're brilliant, you're brilliant, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. And the other one's like, no, you're not, you should be doing it. And I think, and in terms of making the story really sort of hit home, it's, you know, getting that dialogue between the two of them, and you can put humour into it. You can say what you think about the two of them.
Yeah.
If you like, you know, because there's actually three in that. It's a menage a trois, whatever. I don't know how you describe it, but humour is a great, you know, I mean, you've got to think about how you use it. It's part of the emotional journey of the story. And if you do that, then the story begins on the Barrier Reef cruise.
Yeah.
You can cut. well, in my view, you can cut everything that went before that and adjust. And, you know, and really, you know, I don't know whether that was the first time. You know, whether you probably, but you know, it's the, but the reason why, even if it's not the first time that you had the two voices, it was the, is the beginning of the ambition to be a star of stage and screen or whatever. So I think you'll find that the story sort of comes together that way. What do you think, Gemma?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard this story before because me and Sharon have spoken. She shared a little bit of the story. And I think this time I was able to listen to it much more. Like, I was just smiling the whole way through because I just loved the way that you shared it and how, yeah, like, it's just, I even loved, like, even just how you described the details of the letters. It was just kind of like, on this one it had a stamped envelope and then this one didn't. And I think it's just those, sometimes those little details can just bring a story to life because then you're just with that, you know, you're with you in that moment and, you know, you're opening the letter and you're feeling all the feelings. And it's like, I also liked how you were saying, you know, you didn't let that rejection get to you. You smiled. And you still felt as if, no, this is for me. Yeah. This is going to happen. And then you had that faith in the audition. Even though you had the doubts, you were looking at everybody else and thinking, oh, no, I'm not in the right place. You know, I don't look right. You know, whatever, I don't have the experience. But it's that faith that you knew, no, this is for me. Mm. And I think... when you have that faith of knowing something's for you and equally knowing if something's not for you, because you knew that as soon as you were on that Sunday, you were like, this is not for me. You know, I'm not supposed to be a banker in Australia. You know, it's like you knew it wasn't for you. And I think having that clarity of like knowing what's for me, what's not for me. I think if you, and you said tuning into your intuition, once you know that, then anything that happens, it doesn't matter because you know what's for you. And I think that's the power of the story for me, is that clarity and how it really breaks down those steps. Because I think maybe a lot of in manifestation teachings, maybe you don't get that clarity around that intuition part. If that makes any sense. And I think that that's what's powerful about your story, about knowing what's for you and what isn't for you.
But I think the power's in the conflict between those two inner voices, because what it's saying, and I think this is so important, because what it's actually saying is that, you know, it's not about being absolutely 100% confident that everything's going to work out, but actually and presumably everybody, or at least most people, are pulled in two directions. Yeah. And who's to say which voice is actually right?
Yeah, exactly.
And in fact,
this is the same thing what I get with my clients, just coming on to that, because they come to me and, like, for example, there could be clients that have, like, they've been in their corporate career for, like, 15, 20 years, and they're just stuck. They know they're playing small. They know they've got more potential. But that ego in their mind says, well, I can't do it. And my one recent client said to me, I don't apply for jobs because I'm scared if I don't get the job, what are everybody else going to think about me? They're going to think I'm not good enough. And then I'm not going to be good enough because I won't have that job. So she stopped herself and she's denied herself from going for it. And that's like what you said, Chris, which is so powerful there, about that ego mind. And that ego mind was talking to my client so loudly that her higher self was saying, do something different. But she couldn't hear the whispers because her ego mind was shouting, what are everybody else going to say? And that's why a lot of people come to me and they work with me. And then a lot of clients, they resign from their jobs. They get promotions. They leave. They get start businesses. And this is where that empowerment comes from. Mediocre to manifesting the most magnificent life ever. So that's what it's all about. The key thing as well, what I want to just add, if I may, is intuition, like Gemma mentioned, which is so important. But the other thing as well is your emotions. Because as humans, everybody out there listening, we've got our own internal sat nav. You go in the car, you've got your sat nav, it takes you from A to B. You've got your own personal emotional intelligence system, which tells you if something feels right or if something feels bad. And that's the key thing here, Gemma, with going to Australia, the banking position was there for 2 years, but it didn't feel right. And a lot of people and you out there listening may think something doesn't feel right, but you do it anyway. You go against your own internal guidance. You wouldn't sit in your car and the sat nav is telling you to turn left and you turn right unless there's a diversion. You wouldn't do that. You would have faith in your sat nav and turn left because it's telling you three times, turn left. So why don't you listen to your own internal emotional system? And that's how to activate your intuition as well.
But what you're trying to do in the story is to show that system in action.
Yeah, definitely.
And that really, I mean, as far as the story part of what you're going to say, because you can always segue into some teaching after the story.
Yeah.
But for the story itself, keeping that focus on that tension, I think that's really important. And the other thing is... which I think is really helpful, and I've just recently heard this image. That's the accordion theory of storytelling. Because you know the sort of the musical instrument that Ellen Gemma will probably got one somewhere. And
we don't have ours. It got stolen because my mum used to play accordion.
All right. Well, I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure you could tell that story inside of 1 minute. I'm not asking you to do it now because we're running short of time. But
we're going to manifest an accordion for my mum.
And obviously, you can tell the story in 20 minutes or 30 minutes, which is when your accordion's fully out. But it's really finding that that length of the story. Because obviously the 1 minute story, which has its uses, but they're more limited than a longer version where you can put in more detail. And I think if I was working on this story to improve it, I'd be looking at the middle part of the story and how you can compress that a bit, because it's because there's the beginning of the story when you've got this sudden idea about what you want to do, and there's the end of the story when you're doing it, and it's getting from A to B, not necessarily the shortest route, but making sure you're not sort of sagging in the middle. And I think that's one of the things to watch. You know, you've got all the letters that come in, and you quite rightly worked on did a lot more detail on the first one. But, are there ways that all of this can be brought in? Because there's quite a lot of stages along the way. But it's looking at, if you've got a good story, can you tell it in 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? And none of them is the right way of telling it. It's just means that you're in command of your material. And that's and that can be an extremely powerful way of promoting your business, because you are actually telling your people not about your business but about yourself. My guess is that in what you do, trusting you is actually a very important part of what you do.
Yeah. And thank you for those comments, both of you, Gemma and Chris, about the story. I've shared that story so many times. A lot of my followers, etc., they've heard that story, and some of them, like, have heard it like a year ago, and then they come to me and they don't realize it's me. And I had one particular client, she said to me, "Are you the girl from Emmerdale?" And I said, yeah, I guess I am. She said, "Are you the one that shared your story and you won a brand new car on a radio competition?" I said, "Yeah, I manifested that." She's like, "Oh, great. I need a brand new car too." And it's great. Like, people hear the power of the story. And sometimes they don't think, like, they completely forget whether it's you or the name, etc. And then when they come back, because of synchronicity, the right timing, the divine timing, and then they say, "Oh, that was you who manifested that car. That was you that the radio station started ringing every day to enter the competitions. That was you that went to Australia." And that, Chris, is the power of the story. So, yeah.
That's great. I think we're going to need to move things along, partly because Gemma's obviously itching to sing as a song, and
I don't know, or
something.
it's one of those that I've never sung before. Well, it's not really it's not a song. It's a mantra, really. But basically, it's interesting because, Sharon, I may come to you at some point because I'm thinking I've got lots of things that I'm already kind of in motion of manifesting at the moment. But it might be that because being on TV is definitely one of I've been on TV before, obviously doing different things. But a lot of my acting stuff that I've done has been kind of like I suppose more like independent films and kind of like music videos and stuff like that. So it's not really been mainstream in terms of like, acting roles and things like that. So I do think that is something that I would like to manifest in terms of maybe not a TV role as such. I'd love to do comedy. Chris says something about comedy would be really fun. So something like, like Miranda, but like I was like one of the writers or something, or just something like that, some kind of funny, heartwarming, meaningful. And I'd also like to do like big films as well, like what I've done already. Like, I've had some amazing roles where I've been the lead, but it's been like the film I was in just showed in Showroom Shorts the other day, which is in Sheffield. Like, it got picked for one of the showroom films, and it was just really good to kind of like be like, "Oh, that was a film I played the lead in, and it's been shown, and it's nice." And obviously, and then it's like taking it to that next steps of like, okay, so how can I make this bigger in terms of manifestation, and also getting more pay for things as well is another thing that I want to manifest. So I may, but the reason why I'm just sharing that is that because at the moment I'm already kind of like, I've got my online course, I've got my songs, I've got my this, I've got that. So it's kind of like, I may be working with that belief of how do I fit it all in and things like that. It might be that I come to you, in a few months' time or but it's like knowing that you're there as in that you've done that, you've done it, that kind of thing, and knowing that you know how to do it, it's powerful.
Definitely come to me. The one thing I just want to mention there that's just, you just reminded me of, my daughter, she's only 7, and she just literally, she's been on stage in the theatre in Wolverhampton, and she got selected to be Tinkerbell in Peter Pan. And she didn't even audition for it. She was given it. And I don't know whether it was a mixture of mommy manifesting for her, but she manifests things now as well, because she literally, through COVID, she was literally listening to all of my coaching sessions on manifesting. So she's become a little manifester herself. So she plays the piano. She does all of the theatrical stuff. And I just said to her, and this is a key thing for you, Gemma, it's like, even if you don't know how to do it, the how will come. And it's not about having the complete clarity, because if you're saying, I want to, and you're pigeonholing it in like, I want to be in a big, big film, and it's got to have this, it's got to have that, it's got to have the other, you're kind of, you're minimalizing your dream, where you're not expanding it. You're kind of, and that's a bit like attaching to the outcome as well, because people, when they put fine details into it, they're attaching, and that kind of stops the manifesting flow. So there's different ways. I mean, talk to me. Let's get together whenever you're ready.
I think we need to have a chat about it. It just actually reminded quickly before I sort of share. It's only a short song. It's not really a song, but basically what you said just reminded me of, sorry, my throat's like a bit, yeah, anyway, so the story about the Peter Pan and your daughter getting Tinkerbell, it just reminded me of where, and this what might be where my block is in terms of manifestation. So when I was, I think I was like 16, I auditioned for Cinderella at the Lyceum, which is near me, and I got in the papers as one of, I think I got into like the top 10 or something in the audition or something like that. And I got to the acting round, so I sang, I danced, I sang, and then we acted. And then the girl that got it was actually in Bugsy Malone with me like a few years ago. So I kind of knew the person that got it. But I remember feeling at the time like, oh, she's so much prettier than I am. And I don't know what it was, but it just made me feel really like, I think I gave into it a bit of the rejection feeling of like, of course I wouldn't get it because I'm not old. She was older than me as well. And like, yeah, I just saw her, like she had darker skin and longer hair. And I just saw, I don't know. I just got it into my mind that obviously I wouldn't get it because I'm not pretty enough, even though.
Comparison, yeah.
Yeah, comparison. Exactly. Yeah. It's that comparison thing. And then I actually asked the auditioners as like, what was it? And they kind of said, oh, like your singing and your dancing was good, but just work on your acting, which was a really weird thing to say, because then when I went to acting school and did musical theatre, I got the best grades in acting and not my dancing and singing. So it's really weird how different perceptions, different people. I mean, I see myself as equal in all of those things in terms of, I've got different strengths in each one, if that makes sense. But a lot of people praise my acting now. So it's weird that some audition, they just said, oh, yeah, you need to work on your acting. Maybe I did, and that's why I got better at it. But
I think it comes down to as well, it's like the energetics. Because what happens is subconsciously, your subconscious was talking to their subconscious. So even if consciously you thought that, yeah, actually I was fantastic, your subconscious, and if you've got those blocks and those personal limitations, those barriers from historical events, which is like that memory where you've kind of embedded that belief at that particular time at the Cinderella audition, or even from childhood, because that could have come from somewhere rooted down the path line from childhood, that's in your subconscious, and your subconscious is talking to their subconscious. It's the energetics talking. So consciously you may not be aware that that's happening, but that's what they picked up on, the energetics. Because sometimes I find in life, when I think that actually I don't understand why they said that, why would they say something like that, that's not what it is. And then when I go inwards and I think, actually, what is my energetic saying? What are my beliefs saying? Because your belief is just a thought you keep thinking. And whether it's there, because we have 60,000 thoughts in a day, 80% of which are repeated. And if you're repeating these thoughts, you're not even going to be aware consciously that you're having these thoughts. So when you went to that initial audition, and this is, you know, you go to that initial audition and you've got these repeated thoughts and they're just norm. They're just the norm because you've had them for so long, for so many years, it's embedded. You're not actually realizing on that deeper level. And that's where the subconscious is picking up on the subconscious energy of you.
Yeah.
So it does go deeper.
Yeah. And also, I know we're going and I know we're talking about this, but I do think it is relevant, Chris, and I will be moving on soon. But basically, because this could be part of my story, because it's linked to, so I did end up in a pantomime. I ended up in an Aladdin after I graduated, like soon after I graduated drama school, and it was my first job. But then I got the flu like halfway through our performances.
Sabotage.
And so I ended up not being able to finish it. And so my first experience of professional working in the industry, I got ill, and that kind of like really, really got to me. And then since then, it's been really difficult for me to, I have gone to auditions before and things like that, but it's not, I've much preferred kind of work, going my own path in terms of like, you know, just doing much kind of smaller like independent stuff and like setting up my own business and things like that. And
I'd
do,
love to work
do
with
my
you,
music.
Gemma.
Yeah,
so
I think
much,
we need to work
so
together.
Much I could say to that one quote yeah. that you've just said yep. about you being ill, and I could talk yep. to you half an hour about that and really coach you through it, but I'm conscious of the time and I'd love
no,
to hear your song.
No, we're not going
yeah,
no,
yeah, so to I think we should yeah. move on
yeah, let's hear your song.
And hear the song, because that's
right,
the whole
okay.
point of this.
So this is a song that I just wrote just to manifest being supported. So it goes like this. I am supported. I am supported. I am supported. Fully supported. I have all the resources. All the resources. I am supported. I am supported. Resources flow into my existence. Resources flow into my existence. I have all the resources into my existence. I have all the resources into my existence.
Oh, that was wonderful.
So that's a manifestation. And you can also change it, because I had the conversation with Chris the other day and he was like, so is it, you know, talking about like human resources of like using people or like a confusion over like what the word resources mean. In this song, what the word resources mean is that God is giving you all the resources that you need to fulfill all of your dreams. And that's what it means. And you can also change it to we have all the resources. So everybody is included. It's not about stealing resources from other people or anything like that. But yes, that's the little song. And also I have been more supported in the past few weeks after singing that song. Trust me, I've started to see like way more likes, way more praise, way more like money coming in. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, I bow to your experience. My concern is when the word resources is used in phrases like human resources, it's reducing people to a sort of non-human level, and that just worries me whenever I hear the word. But the point I really want to make about that song is, it's just great to hear you singing an upbeat song, because quite a lot of your music and songs are quite introspective. I suppose you could say that one is as well in one sense. I think there's a power in music to actually change your mood and change your emotions. The more upbeat music, I walk all over the place and I've often got a good sort of maybe even a marching tune as I go along, and it does raise your spirits. I mean, yeah, because as you might have noticed, I'm a grumpy old man, and so I've got to occasionally raise my spirits when I'm on my own. Obviously, when I'm with people, I've got to keep my image.
The image of a grumpy old man.
Because
I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is. I think that you're actually quite a positive person, but you pretend that you're not.
Well, it's all the world's a stage, and
yeah, exactly.
We're all players.
It's the character you're playing.
Well, of course, as we all are.
Yeah. And I'm the moody artist who likes to sing sad songs.
The word person comes from the Latin, two words in Latin, per sonar. Sona, S-O-N-A-R, yeah. is the same word as for sonar that goes beep from
sound.
find to find. Mm. And it means through sound. And what it goes back to Greek theatre, ancient Greek theatre, when they wore a big mask that amplified the voice. So it's more like listening to the radio than actually watching a play in those days. And so persona or person actually means the mask. And we all wear a mask. You can't not wear a mask in that
we've
sense.
We've all got a mask on.
You can swap your masks around and change them, and as we do in different when we move into different company,
you can use them in service of the higher power as well, because that's how I see acting as well. A lot of people see acting as sort of like lying or something, and I totally disagree. I think it's about telling the truth in service to the script. So what you do as an actor is you're actually really vulnerable with yourself, because you actually take off your own mask and you put on somebody else's and you become that role. And it's kind of like, yeah, I don't know what your thoughts are on any of that, Sharon.
Yeah, I love the way that you just worded that. I really do. Mm. Because I think in terms of acting, that's what you have to do, don't you? And I love what you said, Chris, there about the person and the persona, because it makes up the personality as well, doesn't it? And that's a lot deeper than just what's on the exterior. So yeah, I think it goes very, very deep. And acting in itself is, like you said, you're putting on another person's persona. And you are quite vulnerable, because you're feeling into those emotions then where you may not necessarily have had those emotions before. So you're kind of opening up to a whole field of different possibilities and different emotions. Mm. So yeah, so I really like the conversation.
Yeah. So going on to Chris's part of the podcast, what do you have to share with us today, Chris?
I'd like to take you back to the 1980s when I lived in County Cleveland. And for those of you who are not geographers, that's the county that has Middlesbrough, which is where I live, Stockton, Hartlepool, and then a strange place called Langbar that there's places that you have heard of are in it, like Redcar and Saltburn and so on. I did some voluntary work at the time with an organisation called Respond, which we always spelt in capital letters with an exclamation mark, even in the middle of a sentence. And it stood for the church's response to Cleveland's industrial crisis. You probably don't remember the 1980s, but it was a time of very high, very high long-term unemployment. A lot of the steelworks that were the industry and the chemical industries and so on had either closed down or massively reduced their workers. And lots of towns like Billingham were dependent on one particular company. So when ICI shrank, I think it sort of shrank, and there were loads and loads of unemployed people who had actually been relatively wealthy while they were in employment. So one of the things I did for Respond was I wrote an article for the Teesside Advertiser, I think it was called, I went round all but Hartlepool that didn't have the Teesside Advertiser for some reason, visiting projects for the long-term unemployed. And basically, I had to write an article, an exciting new article, about another woodwork shop, because there are loads and loads of quite similar projects. It was fun to talk to people and to try and tease out a strand that was different and to make them sort of stand out. And it was suggested to me that I go and talk to somebody called Robert Gallagher, who was at the time the vicar of Coby Newham, which is a new estate just south of Middlesbrough. Robert and two other people had run a course called Dark Holy Ground for long-term unemployed people, plus a few church people. And what they did in this course was they shared their stories. So they just went round the room and people told their story, whatever they wanted to tell. And what they found was that the stories that the long-term unemployed people told were all very similar, about their despair, that they were never going to find a job, they felt that their life was being wasted. And again and again and again, very similar stories along those lines came out. And that actually energized that group of people. Because at some point, somebody said, hang on a minute. All of us are sat at home blaming ourselves for being long-term unemployed, thinking that we're inadequate. And yet, we're all experiencing the same thing. So maybe the reason for it isn't us. It's the system. It's the government. And this actually energized them. And they were actually empowered by telling their story. And they went out in groups and they talked to church groups and so on and told, you know, several of them would tell their story. And it got many of them getting more involved in their communities and setting up more projects. And it got to the point where some of them were able to genuinely say, without any prompting from the church people or anything like that, that being long-term unemployed was the best thing that had ever happened to them. And then they, as part of the course, they also looked at the Psalms. And they're probably not very fashionable these days, and some people might not even know what they are. But they're songs in the Bible. And they found one, the first thing is to say is, one of the things they discovered was that the people who wrote the Psalms 4,000 years ago were going through the same emotional turmoil as they were in 20th century County Cleveland. Yeah, and it was that, and they made an emotional connection with those people from 4,000 years ago. And one psalm in particular, Psalm 139, was particularly moving to them. And verse 11, the darkness with you is no darkness at all. The night is as light as the day. And somebody said, hang on a minute, it's still dark. The night is as light as the day. It's still dark. And it was this realization that although your financial and other circumstances might be unchanged, you can change in response. And this was the powerful message that they got. Robert Gallagher was particularly graced with a particular skill, and he was a brilliant listener, the best listener I've ever known. And he sat in the during the course taking notes. And he ended up with piles and piles of these notes. So the three leaders of the course went to a pub in Gisborough and started to work on all these bits and pieces of paper. And they actually turned them into a little book, which I've lost, of quotes from this course. And when they finished, they looked up. And their table was surrounded by other people in the pub who were all stood there with their pints, listening to the conversation because it was so fascinating and interesting. That course had made a massive, massive impact on them, and Robert did on me. He's someone who has accompanied me in my thinking ever since then. I actually met him twice. I met him a second time, he told me more about his work as a vicar. And one of the things that he talked about was how he would sit and listen to his parishioners' stories, and there were often stories of really great suffering and pain, you know, all the things that we're familiar with. He said to me, when I hear a story of someone who's in great personal pain, do you know what I feel? Now, obviously that was a rhetorical question, so I answered no, and he replied, what I feel is joy. because it's at that moment when you hear those deepest, darkest stories that I feel closest to God. And he coined the phrase, the dark face of God, which might sound very negative, but actually it can be of great comfort to people once they get into it and understand it, because you need to respect where people are, and they're often in pain. Anyway, I wrote the article about the Dark Holy Ground course. Out of all the articles that I wrote for the Teesside Advertiser, that was the only one they didn't publish.
Oh. Oh. Why? Well, they should have. Because
oh, yeah. Don't disagree with that.
I love that. You're starting about the dark night, that it's actually light. And then when the other person said, actually, it's dark. Because it's about the perception and thinking deeper. And that was actually a really, really strong opening, I found.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I love the quote, the night is as light as the day. I don't know. It's almost, it goes beyond words kind of thing, but it's about that perception of seeing, and there was lots of parts in the story where it's kind of like about seeing those darker moments as like having a purpose, or like that it connects each other, and not seeing it as a negative, but a positive to bring us closer to God. And I think that, you know, it's a bit like how in Sharon's story, you know, she didn't kind of see it as a negative when bad things, quote unquote, bad things were happening, but it's kind of like, you know, accepting what is, but also kind of seeing beyond that.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I was going to translate it into Sharon, if you'll excuse me, Sharon, I think often when people get into those very dark places, they're just hearing the one voice.
Yeah.
Telling them how bad they are and how it's all their fault and so on and so forth.
And that's because it's so loud. That's because that voice.
The other voice just isn't there. And I think what they found was through storytelling that the other voice came into play. And as soon as it did, this other voice began to go. So circumstances didn't change, but the people changed.
But what I would say to that, just as a slight tangent, is that voice is always there. It's like the angel on the shoulder and the devil on the other side. That higher mind is there from more so than the ego mind. That mind that's saying, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. We've learned that. We've learned it. We weren't born with that ego mind, that ego self. The higher mind that you mentioned that they've had to learn, that higher mind was there right from when they were born. So I feel it's the other way round. So sorry to be a bit controversial, but I definitely sense it's the other way round. And also, both of those have been there right from the start. It's just whether we can tune ourselves down, tone that voice down to listen to those whispers, because the higher mind, the intuition, call it what you want, it's always there. It's guiding us, and it's always been there. It's not for the person to learn that it's there or to welcome it in. It's for that person to then realize that ego mind is shouting so much in their minds, the pre-programs, and it's adjusting.
I'm sure there's truth in that, but I think what I would want to add to it is that circumstance does actually have weight.
Definitely.
You know, to experience rejection, you know, you're on the scrap heap. You've got you're of no value to society, and being told that day in and day out just by the circumstance that you're living in. I mean, there's nobody there standing over you. Nobody cares. You know, and it's that that's the dark place, and the dark place remains dark but it's finding
until
that
they're
light.
Willing to see the light. Until they're willing to see the light, because nobody can do that for them. Because even the darkest, the person that's got the darkest of the dark, and they've had the rejections, they've had the suicidal thoughts, they've had all of that. They've been on the floor where there's nowhere else to go. You know, they can't go even lower because they're at the lowest point ever. Yeah, they can get the support externally, but they have to, first of all, it's like, for example, if a person's like an alcoholic, I know we're going on a tangent, a person's an alcoholic, nobody can help them unless, first of all, they're willing to help themselves. You could, you know, that their parents, their friends, their family could say, no, you can't do this. They could lock them in the room, all of this stuff. It's the same with drugs. That person has got to be willing, first of all, to take a chance on themselves to say, I've had enough of this. Enough's enough. What do I do? And then seek that help and support. And then that, then they can turn their lives around. So even the lowest of the lows, I've seen personally with a few clients, they've been almost suicidal. Mm. I've had one particular person came to me just before one of the Christmases a couple of years ago. And she said, you're my last hope. I was literally about to commit suicide. And that's where it gets to that dark, dark, dark place. Mm-hmm. But they've got to be willing in themselves to say, I need to change.
It's community. It's community tough. That makes a difference.
Yeah,
so when your clients are on their own until they come to you. And with the dark holy ground, it was, of course, they went along and they shared together. That is what began to lift them.
That's what I was going to say is that I think the only thing I agree with both of you. And the only thing is about having the perception that it's got to come from, you are right in the sense of that, you know, that's how it's experienced individually, in the sense of that you get to that low point and then you're like, actually, I need to change this. But in the sense of society level, I do think that there's reasons why people drink and there's reasons why people feel suicidal. And one of the reasons is that we lack community. And I think that bringing back that community is what saves people a lot of the time. Like even just having this conversation here, that's community, you know, like reaching out to people, telling stories, showing you that you're not alone and that things are possible and there is another way of looking at this. And I think it is having that back and forth with other people that sometimes the personal development world does miss sometimes, in terms of like when we, because it makes you feel, sometimes people literally make you feel bad about yourself, as in, you know, you need to do it all yourself. You need to make sure that you so I think it's about, yes, you do need to have that sense of inner strength within yourself, but you build that by reaching out to other people. Definitely. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And the support of other people, that's what makes, you know, what makes us, you know, the world go round at the end of the day. And the key point there as well is like throughout COVID as well, where people may have been isolated, and it's that community feel, you know, to reach out, neighbours, friends, family, you know, people coming together, even via social media, to come together to say, you know, you're not alone. You know, even if there is somebody living on their own, they're not alone. You know, that there is that community. So I definitely take that the story that you just did there, Chris, was really powerful as well, especially bringing the community together and then influencing that change and that growth.
Mm. Oh yeah, yes, yes. I mean, I was a community development worker at that time, and autoed for about 30 years. And community is if I get into that, I mean, community can be negative as well as positive. I think it's just the last point I want to make. We'll perhaps have to tell a story about that at some point.
Can I mention a quote to add to that? You are an average of the top five people you spend your most time with. So whether that's a good thing, whether that's a bad thing, look at the top five people you spend your most time with. So whether it's community, etc., you are an average of those people. So that's a case of looking at the people you're with.
Yes. I mean, community organisations can become extremely negative, but this is all part of building our picture of understanding ourselves and how all these things work. But Gemma's frantically signalling that time is moving on.
But I think this has been good, actually, even just having that extra time. And I hope that if you've listened to the whole of this, that you've benefited from everything that Sharon and Chris and I have said, and that you can take away something. So, Sharon, if you could just quickly summarise what you would like the listeners to take away today from everything that's been said today, and also how can we contact you if anyone wants to. We will put it in the show notes, but just
I'm going to share the mantra I shared at the start, which is nothing is impossible, anything is possible. You can do anything if you put your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, your heart into it. You really can live your true greatness. And another daily mantra that I use, which is six words, is I can, I will, I am. So thank you all for listening. And if you would like to contact me, you can feel free to contact me via Facebook. Add me as a friend, Sharon Sammy. For the ladies out there, because it's a women-only group, feel free to join my group called Anything is Possible. And I'm also on LinkedIn. So you can add me on LinkedIn, Sharon Sammy. And I've also got, if anybody would like some more information on gratitude, which is all about uplifted positive thinking, taking it your energy level to another notch upwards and helping you manifest, you can feel free to download the free ebook, which gives you 7 daily exercises. So thank you for listening.
Thank you. And Chris, how can we contact you if we want to?
Well, all the contact details will be in the show notes. Just to say, I do coach many business people in storytelling, and it's in the title of this podcast, Find, Tell, Share. I can help you find stories, I can help you work out how to tell them to the best effect, and then how to share them, which is where you're getting into your marketing. And on the way, not only do we work on marketing, but we often find that the stories help with business development as well. I run something called Telling Stories Making Business, usually twice a month, and you can find the program for that. It meets on Zoom 2 o'clock, usually but not always, at 2 o'clock on second and fourth Thursdays. And there's quite a good program at the moment, so do have a look at that. And particularly if you hear this before January 2022, you can, if you register for the story at the end of January, you get a biscuit through the post. So, register for this and you'll get a biscuit. So the power of storytelling, nothing beats it. What about you, Gemma? What are you up to?
Thank you, Chris. I'm currently designing a new course, but I will share that probably next time. So you can work with me one-to-one, and I do Finding Your Voice sessions as well at the fourth Friday of the month, although it is going to be the third Friday in December. We do singing, songwriting, speaking, and it's just about finding your voice and being authentic in your own creative self. So you can find me on creativehearts.coach on Instagram and Facebook, and also Gemma Rosenthal. And I've got YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, although I don't post much on there, but I am on there. And you can hear my music on those pages as well, and dancing. Yeah.
Okay, that's it then. We've done. So, farewell from me, Chris Sissons, and from Gemma.
Gemma, yeah. And thank you, Sharon, for being our guest.
Thank you to Sharon. Goodbye.
You.